Please be seated. Have you ever listened to someone telling you an experience that they had and you really didn't believe them? They may have been describing how someone was treating them or how a certain situation played out, and as they're talking, you're thinking to yourself, I think they're exaggerating, or I think they're imagining that really happened. Reminded of the Dr. Seuss book that I used to love to read to my children, to think that I saw it on Mulberry Street. The little boy, Marco, is walking home, and his dad always asks him what he saw on the way home. So Marco's saying to himself, "But all that I've noticed except my own feet was a horse and a wagon on Mulberry Street. That's nothing to tell of. That won't do, of course. Just a broken down wagon that's drawn by a horse? That can't be my story. That's only a start. I'll say that a zebra was pulling that cart. And that is a story that no one can beat when I say that I saw it on Mulberry Street." As the book progresses, Marco keeps building this horse and cart more and more in his imagination, till finally there's an entire parade and an elephant, a big band, a mayor, the alderman, and almost all the people from the town are there with an airplane flying overhead dropping confetti. Now, there are people who think the resurrection of Jesus follows the same sort of progression. And I suppose that's more or less what Thomas is thinking his friends have done in our gospel lesson today. Thomas thinks these other 10 disciples just don't want Jesus to be dead, so they refuse to accept his death. They persuaded themselves that he's still alive. And finally, collectively, they say that they've all seen him, even though it's just in their imagination. Kind of like Marco with his zebra and parade. Well, Thomas is not having any part of it. And he tells them rather graphically so. He says to them, "Unless I put my fingers into the nail prints of his hand, unless I put my hand into his side where the spear went in, I will not believe." You see, Thomas knows that dead people don't get up and walk around. He reminds me of the story about the fellow who was a tourist in New York City. He had hired a cab to take him from the Empire State Building, which was some distance from where he was. On their way there, he had a question for the cabbie. He reached up and tapped the cabbie on the shoulder. When he tapped him on the shoulder, the cabbie screamed and swerved off into the sidewalk, almost hitting a couple pedestrians, very, very, very narrowly missing a fire hydrant, finally hitting a garbage can and coming to a stop, two wheels on the curb, two wheels on the street. They sat there for a couple minutes, their hearts thumping, still shaking a bit. Then the cabbie turned to his passenger and said, "When you tapped me on the shoulder, I almost jumped out of my skin." The passenger, his eyes were still as big as dinner plates, said, "Well, I didn't think just tapping you on the shoulder would scare you like that." The cabbie took a deep breath and said, "Well, I guess it's not really your fault. You see, this is my first day as a cab driver, but for the past 25 years, I've driven a hearse." You see, everybody knows dead people don't get up after they're dead. The cab driver knew this. Thomas knew this. That's why we love Thomas. He's like us. He's from the Show Me State. And notice when Jesus comes around 1 week later and Thomas is there, Jesus does not berate him. He doesn't put him down. He simply tells Thomas, "Put your finger here where the nail print was. Put your hand in my side where the spear went up. You want proof, Thomas? Okay, here is proof. Here I am, standing, breathing, speaking to you. I'm touchable." Well, now Thomas does believe. Now he's convinced. All 11 disciples are convinced Jesus is alive and has risen from the dead. All 11 are convinced that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. These men are so totally convinced that they're now willing to face murderous opposition, willing to proclaim Jesus as Messiah, as the Lord, and suffer much persecution. Within 2 years, James, the brother of John, is beheaded because he won't back down from his claim Jesus is alive. Shortly after that, Peter himself is imprisoned, and it's expected that he too will die. But God miraculously frees him from the prison. However, later on, Peter does die because he won't back away from saying Jesus is alive. In fact, all of the disciples but one die a violent death. Of these 10 remaining disciples, some are beaten to death, a couple are crucified, some are burned at the stake, some are stabbed. If you can think of a horrible way to die, it probably happened to at least one of them. Why? Why would they go through to their deaths like this? All they had to say was Jesus wasn't alive. All they had to say was Jesus was not Lord. And remember, it was these same fellows who that fateful Thursday night, that we now know as Maundy Thursday, that evening, they all turned tail and ran for their lives. These same fellows we see in our gospel reading are hiding behind locked doors because they're afraid. They're afraid of being arrested and killed like Jesus was. So what happens? What changes these men? They're changed because they became convinced that he was alive. And you see, if Jesus is alive, that changes everything. You see, if he's alive, then he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to God except through him. If he is alive, then we can have forgiveness of sins through faith in him and in his name. If he is alive, then we can know God, because God has shown himself and what he's like through Jesus. If he's alive, then we can become reborn. We can become new creations. We can become actual children of God himself. If Jesus is alive, we can be filled with God's Holy Spirit. All these things become true if, in fact, Jesus is alive. The disciples were convinced that he was alive, and they changed. And as a result of their changed lives, their witness to the entire world was the entire world was affected by their witness. And the reverberations are still shaking and shaping the world today. The question for each of us is Jesus alive? Or is he dead? What do we think? Are we convinced that he's alive? Are we convinced like the disciples were convinced? Most of us will say, yeah, we think Jesus rose from the dead, and because of that we have a promise of eternal life, and that's where we stop. But you see, that's only part of the resurrection story. It's a good part, but there's more. We need to realize that because Jesus is alive, that means that all that he said is true. He is the way to God. He is what God is like, and we can know God through knowing him. And because he's alive, we can know and experience his presence in our lives. We can talk to him, and he can communicate back to us. If, like Thomas and the other disciples, we actually believe Jesus is alive, then our lives can have an impact on the world around us just like theirs did. What do I really believe? May God help us to be convinced like Thomas and then be transformed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.